We know the year 2026 spiritually means it's the divine alignment, our heart, mind, and soul aligning more to God's will. 2026, we know that spiritually it means it's a year for the roar. Christians not being afraid, but having to be more bold in our faith, inviting others to the gospel. 2026, a year of connection between heaven and earth. 2026, a year to join the fight spiritually. Warriors, watchmen against demon oppression, enemy influence. This is where the warfare, a year to join the fight spiritually. Warriors, I'm a spiritual warrior. I'm a spiritual watchman. I'm watching, I'm waiting, I'm ready to fight against demon oppression and enemy influence. 2026, a year for significant spiritual shift, demanding spiritual discernment, courageous action, aligned with God's purpose, His plan, in His Word. We go to Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. So be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews, the Gentiles alike. I'm in chains, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. How many of us have seen every day sometimes things can start exactly the same and they can go exactly the same? And there are other days where how many of us have had the day go sideways real quick? Most of us have ever woken up, got ready, got a flat tire. Most of woken up, the alarm didn't go off, got a little late to work, in trouble. How many of us, there's just certain things, certain days, for whatever reason, it just goes sideways. There's other days where everything's just perfect. That's why the best way to start every day is choosing 2026 to put on the full armor of God. Choosing 2026 to join and be active in the fight. And the warfare that is going on, that is happening every single day. Number one, it's a choice to put on the armor of God. Number two, Paul outlines is to understand who we are fighting, unseen enemies. Number three, he says, put on every piece. Don't leave it out. There's not too many of us that get up and put on one shoe and leave the other one in the closet and get to work leaving one piece, right? Most of us have learned we put on both shoes. That's why Paul says this morning, put on every piece. And then he goes into it and he gets deep. He says, number one, make sure you stand your ground. And when he says stand your ground, he's saying this is something to aim for. And this is the goal that Christians should have every single day. It's a goal to stand my ground. Meaning to maintain the ground, to not give in to the devil with temptation or lies, to not run away, to not back up, to stand my ground. I'm going to be strong this year. I'm going to be strong this day. I'm going to be strong this week. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to go backwards today. I'm not going to go backwards this week. I'm not going to go backwards this year. I'm going to stand and be strong. Paul says, stand your ground. It's to aim. It's to have the goal to stand. Every Christian learning to stand our ground. And then he goes to the belt of truth. And the belt of truth, for a Roman soldier, believe it or not, before they even put on the armor, they put on their belt. Before they put on the armor, they put on the belt. And the belt actually made easy as they put on the armor after the belt. It put easy to kind of connect all the pieces, to connect the dots. The belt gave ease and freedom to the movement of the soldier to hold up, to hold the breastplate, to hold the sword. The way they moved, the way they fought, it gave ease, freedom, and moment, and freedom in every moment. The belt of truth. Now listen, I love this. The belt of truth states that a soldier, put on correctly, gives ease to moment and freedom in the battle. We know that the Word of God says Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. That Jesus provides what? Freedom. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A soldier's belt provided ease and freedom. Paul said the first thing you put on every single day is truth. In words. Truth, meaning the Word. Every single day you put on the Word of God. You put on Jesus. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as a Roman soldier had the ease and freedom to move in battle because his belt was a good belt. The Word of God is the truth, and it will free us every single day. How we start the day matters. How we start every single day matters. And we covered the belt of truth last week, and we covered the helmet of salvation protecting our mind last week. But today we move into the next part, which is called the body armor of God's righteousness. The breastplate of God's righteousness. Imagine going to the grocery store in your pajamas. Now, most people today, wearing pajamas has become more of a thing, right? People wear pajamas to school. Some people wear pajamas to work. Not really, but more people wear it to school. They wear it out about. But imagine going to the grocery store, shopping in pajamas. You might feel out of place a little bit. If you don't see anybody else, this is how our mind thinks and our heart feels. If we could put on our pajamas because we're comfortable, we're just going to have a comfy day, and we go out. If we see other people in pajamas, what happens? We feel even more comfortable. But if we don't run into anybody wearing pajamas, we could feel ridiculous. We could feel out of place. So imagine this. Imagine suiting up for armor, ready for battle. But instead of putting on the armor, putting on your helmet, putting on the breastplate, you decide, you know what, I'm just going to go to war today wearing a t-shirt and shorts, nothing else. The breastplate of righteousness is like that armor. It's what protects our hearts from the arrows of guilt and shame. It keeps us covered. It reminds us to live righteously so we can confidently move through life fully dressed. Have you ever met someone who's always upbeat and confident? They seem to have a special glow, and there's something about them. They have this personal shield around them all the time. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is and does. It's not just about doing right. It's about being right with God so that we can walk with joy and confidence, just like a superhero's costume. This breastplate of righteousness, it empowers us to face challenges head on, knowing we are covered. Picture one of us this morning, like Riley. A knight in shining armor is fully ready to go to war and battle. He's ready, set. All of our guys ready for war, battle. These guys that put on all their armor, side by side they marched. Men behind them protecting them from the back, but the guys stood, what, side by side. You know, it matters who you go to war with. All of us in a battle this morning. Every single one of us, we are in a battle. It's called life. And whether we're facing something or know somebody who's facing something or think we're not facing something, we're facing something. Guarantee it. Because who does Paul say we fight? We fight an unseen world. There's an unseen battle. It's important. This picture Paul describes of being clothed with the armor of God, that you know who's next to you. Because if I'm going to war, if I'm going to battle, I want people who are going to be strong. I want people who are not afraid to die. I want people that I'm going to go to battle with who say, you know what? We're going to make it home tonight. Fearless, strong. But somebody else, how about us, we're going to battle. No offense. with losers, Debbie Downers, people who are crying Karens, complainers, bitter, angry. Just saying names, not pointing fingers at anybody in this world, right? The breastplate of righteousness, shining. But how many of us would, if we were going to war in battle, said, I don't need my helmet today. Who cares if I put on the armor, the breastplate? I don't need to protect my heart today. I don't need to put on, right? I'm just going to buckle it halfway. I'm just going to put on the armor halfway. I'm going to wear half of it, the other half. I'm going to leave it home. Wife didn't shine it up all the way, so I'm just going to leave it there in the closet. That's how many of us live spiritually. We're not putting it on. For some reason, we think we can leave pieces of God's word behind. It's amazing how easily anything can set us off and trigger in our heart and mind. Because why? We're not being guarded. We're not allowing anything to guard us. We're not going to go to battle halfway dressed. If we're going to go to war, we're going to do it all the way. Most of us in here, if we're going to go fight on the battle lines, if we're going to go on the front lines of fight, we're going to make sure we have everything ready. Is that how we face every day? God, I'm ready. I'm putting on your word. God, I'm putting on your righteousness. God, I'm putting on every single thing that's in your word, faith, righteousness, the word, the Holy Spirit, all the things that I need to battle today. God, are we every single morning choosing to fight the right way? You know, in a game of dodgeball, wearing protective gear could make the difference, right? Because sometimes when you play dodgeball, if you're playing younger people or younger kids, they're not going to throw that hard. But if you're playing dodgeball with maybe older people, sometimes older people have something to prove. So like dodgeball, it's the game of death. And I'm going for your head, right? Not me, but there are people, not anybody of us in here, who play like that. So protective gear, if you're playing dodgeball, it could make a big difference if someone's throwing the ball as hard as they can at your nose. Throwing as hard as they can at your head. The breastplate of righteousness, it guards our heart and our soul. Life, it can throw some pretty hard things at us. But when we surround ourselves with God's righteousness, we're less likely to get knocked out. It gives us a playful spirit to keep dodging and scoring, even in the midst of challenges. Paul describes the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. He describes these two pieces working together. Truth and words. Truth and words. Righteousness and actions. Actions. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ being lived out in me. When he said, put on the belt of truth, it's going to hold everything together, it's going to connect all the pieces, and then to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and he says, this is God's righteousness. There's nothing that we do that we can earn the right to heaven. Jesus did it on the cross. So we put on Jesus' righteousness, we put on the cross, death, sacrifice, all these things that are wrapped up in the cross. When we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and decide to live his righteousness out on this earth, our heart becomes covered. The body armor protecting us from attacks. Right living for Jesus, believe it or not, will protect every single one of our hearts from attacks of the enemy. Right living, Romans 6:13. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. Use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. When Paul was describing the breastplate of righteousness, it means to live right for Jesus and allow his life to be lived in us. And when we allow his righteousness, when we allow right living to live in us and through us, right living, doing the right thing, will protect us from the attacks of the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness, you know, clothes started with leather, but covered in metal to protect the heart. Why the heart? We've talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the helmet of salvation. Every one of us put on our head, protected in battle. But why the heart? Heart's interesting. You know, the heart beats 100,000 times a day. The heart is a power source. It has a very unique electrical system. It pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels every single day. Our blood vessels, if you were to lay out end to end, it's enough to circle the earth twice in every body. Crazy! How did God design us so unique that our heart beats 100,000 times a day? Now, there are some people who are a little slower, so they beat a little less than 100,000. It might be at 90,000 or 89,000. The heart, a very unique electrical system. One of the only things in the body, you know what? That doesn't get cancer. The heart, a unique electrical system, pumping 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels every day. The heart sends blood to almost every cell in the body. What is the spiritual meaning of the heart? I'm glad you asked. The spiritual meaning of the heart, it is the core of our life. Our being, our emotions, the intellect, our will, the deepest part of ourself, the center, the consciousness, aware, intuition, love. It's where our connection to the divine is. The heart, spiritually, also described as a source of like a river, like water, like a spring, light. But also, our heart could be described spiritually as like a dark, destitute valley that's in a drought. Bible verses about our heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is most deceitful of all things. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. It's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, I search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Matthew 6:21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Jeremiah the prophet, what did he say? The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. This powerful thing that God put inside of us, which is symbolically the center and the core of our life. How is it described in the Bible? Deceitful, wicked, desperately wicked, he said. Jesus, what did he say? Where your heart is will be what you treasure. The very core, the thing that you love and adore, which is worship. That is what you call your treasure. It's what you have found. The challenge is 1 Samuel 16:7. God says to Samuel, don't judge by the outward appearance. I reject those things. The Lord doesn't see things the way people do. It says people judge outwardly, but the Lord, I look at what? Your heart. So if our heart can be deceitful, and if our heart can have some darn right dark things in it, what's God looking at? He's looking exactly right into our heart every single day. Paul describing why is it important to wear this breastplate of righteousness? We need to keep the very center and the core of our life protected from the attacks of the enemy. This is where God looks. This is where God will be judging us for. What should we do? Well, if our heart is evil, if we have evil thoughts, we should pray for change. Psalms 51:10, David says, create in me, God, a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Starts with prayer. If our heart is dark, if our heart is evil, if we have lust, fear, jealousy, insecurity, the long list of things that the Bible describes that are bad, what should we do? We need to pray. We need to pray like David. We need to sing out, God, create in me, God, a clean heart. God, I need it. God, renew a loyal spirit within me. Because so many of us have seen in human nature, for whatever reason, when there are certain things we don't like, we tend to start to back up. When there are things or people or situations that hurt us, what do? Put all our guards up. The walls go up. Sin, the Bible describes as sin being something that makes our heart hard as a rock. David screwed up. What did he do? God created me a clean heart. God had helped me to be loyal. I don't want to wander. I don't want to wander. Don't banish me, God, from your presence. Don't take me from your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of salvation and make me willing to obey you. Ezekiel 36:26, pray, God, give me a new heart. It says, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out the old heart that is stubborn, selfish, and give you a tender, responsive heart. If we have a selfish heart, if we only think about ourselves, if we're only putting ourselves above other people, if we're putting other people down, if we're being disrespectful, if we know that we're not following and loving the way that we should be praying these verses. God created me a new heart. God, give me a new heart that is tender, that is loving, that is kind, that's not stubborn and stony, so that our heart can be free. And the challenge in our world today, there's many hearts that aren't very free. The heart being the very center and the core of life. If these hearts aren't free, if these hearts have darkness, if these hearts are full of jealousy, insecurity, lust, hate, anger, selfishness, it comes out in the way that we deal with ourselves, the way we deal with people. And if we were to follow each other around, every one of us, every single day, I'm sure at times we would probably see some selfishness. We would see times where we put ourselves above someone else by the way we talk to them or about them. These are the very things God says, I need you. I want you to be free from, because I'm looking at your heart. Our heart needs to be free so we could, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why does our heart need to be protected? If our heart's not protected, we have a hard time trusting. Just like, let's be honest, how many people do we know that have ever been betrayed or backstabbed? You will have a hard time, what? Trusting that person. For some reason, I don't know why, God sometimes, he gets sometimes our hate and anger, even though it's at other people, he gets it as well. If our heart's not protected, then we have a hard time trusting in him. Trusting it's going to be okay. Maybe we blame him secretly. We're not going to say it out loud. Because God, we allowed you this. We allowed this. You allowed this to happen to me. Maybe without even realizing it. And our subconscious thinks, if someone hurt me, if someone backstabbed me, if someone is after something that I have, we can subconsciously think, man, God, I can't even trust you. Without saying it, God, I can't even trust you. Our heart needs to be protected so that we can be free. Like Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Deuteronomy 6:4, listen. He says, oh Israel, we're going to put in heaven here. Listen, oh heaven, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. And again, if our heart isn't covered, if our heart isn't beating properly for him, it's hard to trust. And secondly, it's what? It's hard to love. If we're not covering ourselves every single day, it's going to be hard to trust him. It's going to be hard to love him. Proverbs 4:23, one of our favorite verses for love, people. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you have flows from it. Why do I cover myself? Because my heart, everything from my heart, everything in life flows from this. Guard your heart, because it determines the course of your life. Another version, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. I love that. Above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. And if we were honest, love how they said the springs of life, because that's a symbol spiritually for what our heart is. Sometimes we give people the springs of life that are coming from us. Another time we give them the springs of death, right? Put away from you false, dishonest speech. willfully contrary talk that put far from you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. Let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path for your feet. Let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or the left. Remove your feet from evil. Many think in here this morning when we talk about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And if you think of a Roman soldier who's going to go out to war, he's going to go out to battle. He's going out. And whether they're defending the country or they're taking country. Because Rome at this time, they decided to go out and take over many different lands, cities, and towns. Now, they didn't leave guards at home because they wanted to what? They wanted to protect the home. And so one of the things I want us to think about and ask ourselves this morning, if we were to think about guarding our heart, do you think this morning God's asking us to guard our heart from the outside world? Or more importantly, is God trying to teach and train us how to guard our heart from sometimes what's within us? If we're honest, most people, when something happens, when it's bad, when it's negative, we blame and we point fingers. We don't initially go to ourselves first and say, well, I screwed up. No, it's you screwed up. Guarding our heart, the first step, learning to guard our heart, is to guard our heart from ourselves. Guarding our heart from ourselves. Because when we stand before God, who are you going to have to answer for? Yourself. We know what fear does. Fear leads to manipulation and control. Does God want you to manipulate and control people? No. We know what insecurity does. Insecurity, people who are insecure, you know what they do? They hurt other people because they don't want to be outdone by somebody else. We know what lust does. Whether it's lust for a person or lust for things, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Stop trying to get what doesn't belong to you. From the very beginning, what was the very first sin? Adam and Eve. Let's get something more of what doesn't belong to me. What did the devil do? You need this. You will be like God. You will have more power. You're going to have more understanding. What is the devil's temptation? You need more. You need more. You need more of this. Guarding our heart because it determines the course of our life. If we're trying to guard our heart from the outside world, you know what we're doing? We're leaving the inside world open and super under attack from the enemy. Guarding our heart needs to start here. We all have to learn how to guard our heart from ourselves. Because the Bible says, like Paul, in this story, in our text for this month, is what? You're in an unseen battle. So the devil who we can't see, demons who we can't see, who's he after? If he's out to steal, kill, and destroy, if he's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, if he dresses up as an angel of light, so he tries to make his message look good and beautiful and perfect and colorful, who's he going after? He's going after you. He's going after me. And he's planting seeds of selfishness. Me first. Myself first. And so the step, I think, this morning is learning how do I guard my heart from myself and from the seeds the devil is trying to plant in me. I want to go to another scripture, maybe our last scripture this morning. It's going to be in Matthew. And as we read the scripture, I want you to think about it from a heart's perspective, with our hearts in mind. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him. He got into a boat. He sat there and he taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. He scattered them across the field. Some seeds fell on the footpath. The birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. The plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, because their heart is selfish, because their heart is hard, because their heart is dark, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." Jesus describing a parable where he says, "I go out as the farmer, and I take seeds, and I plant it in the ground, and I throw it out, and I scatter them everywhere." So again, we're looking at this parable from a heart's perspective. Jesus said, there are hearts that hear the message. There's a heart that hears it. But immediately, what does the devil do? Because the heart's not guarded, the devil steals the word of God from that heart. Then he said, there's a heart that hears the word of God, gets excited. I'm excited. Ew, Jesus. Spiritual warfare this year is going to be the best. I'm going to fight so strong, this. And then an hour, someone cuts us off on the road. We get angry, and we just completely forget about the message and move on with our life. Jesus described the second person as having a heart that is shallow. So there's still hard pieces in there. There's still hard fragments of rock that haven't been removed. And then he said the third heart is a heart described as having thorns, because the heart is still chasing the pleasures of this world, always wanting, always needing more, wealth, money, whatever I think is going to make me happy, instead of chasing the things of God. And so Jesus describes a heart, if we put the heart in this issue and in this parable, three hearts. One, constantly getting ripped off from the devil. Two, the heart doesn't want to deal with the hardness that's in there, so it's shallow. It only can let a little tiny piece, maybe of a seed, to get in there, but it gets pushed out. And the third heart being described as a thorny heart. There's so many thorns. There's so many things that we've allowed to grow in there that the Word of God has no room. And I wonder this morning, is our heart's beating going to beat 100,000 times a day? I don't know what number we're at so far. Would spiritually God say to any one of us in here that our heart needs to start beating in this area spiritually again? And so this morning, as we're talking about clothing ourselves with the armor of God for today's specific reason, that is to protect our heart. I love that story and I love this song, because as the surgeon fixed the heart was repaired and ready, but it didn't yet want to start beating. Until it heard a voice, "You have to tell your heart it's okay to start beating again." So for many of us in here, we ask ourselves, how do I know if my heart has some dark holes, shadows? We ask ourselves, one, am I getting angry easily? Am I being more selfish than I normally am? Am I constantly blaming other people? Are my walls up? I'm a well-guarded fortress. No one's going to get in. No one's going to hurt me. No one's going to get through to this heart because it's blocked up. The challenge is when you block out the world, most people don't understand they're also blocking out God. If you walk around saying, no one is going to get to me, you're also doing that to God without realizing it. If you're constantly talking about other people in a negative way, then your heart has stopped beating for the Lord. If you're constantly stating what other people do wrong, if you're constantly stating what other people's sins are, God's not running around with a microphone blasting what we do wrong, what we've done wrong in the past. So why do we think it's okay for us? If we have hate, any kind of hate in our heart for any person, then it's full with darkness and it's not beating for the Lord. Apostle John said, listen, And if you got hate towards your brother, any kind of hate towards anybody, you don't have the love of God in you at all. At all. I wonder this morning, if we ever pray for a situation, do we pray more that God would change someone or something, or do we pray and say, God, help me change? And that also shows and magnifies what our heart looks like. Do we constantly pray for other people to get it, but we're not praying for us to get it? A heart isn't beating for the Lord. Jesus goes on in Matthew 13, he says, this is why I use these parables. People look, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened. You know, many people hear a message online, on TV. Some people come to church and they're saying, why is always the pastor talking about me? Why is the pastor looking down on me? My heart, if you think that, you're misjudging me because I'm not up here to say you. I'm saying God's word, when I read it, is speaking behind me to all of us, not me to you. It's God's word to us. This isn't John to you. It's God's word to us. But if our hearts are hard, we're constantly pointing, looking around. I'll never forget Zoe in our young days. There was a person who was in an adulterous relationship. And I just happened to be that Sunday talking about the woman caught in adultery. And she came up to one of our pastors, so to speak, and says, this message has nothing to do with me. I don't know why John's sharing this. Even though she herself was in an adulterous relationship, unwilling, hardened to hear the truth, unwilling because of sin, selfishness, to hear the truth from God's word. And sometimes how it was, without even admitting it, coming Sunday mornings, constantly pushing God's word away, because we got the walls up, the trigger's there, not letting anything in, not letting truth in. I can't admit I'm weak. That song we sang this morning, give me faith. Maybe I need faith to admit, God, I'm weak. Because it's in admitting, God, we're weak, that what? He becomes strong. If we can't admit we're weak, we're judgmental, we're unloving, we're not kind, I've got hate, I'm selfish, if we're not willing to admit some of these weaknesses, God can't be made strong in us. That's why Apostle Paul said, listen, admit the weakness so that God can become strong in you. Jesus said, people will not hear truth because their hearts are hard. Their ears can't hear. They close their eyes so their eyes can't see. Their ears can't hear and their hearts cannot understand. And they will not turn and let me heal them. Hearts aren't being healed. Lives aren't being healed. Relationships aren't being healed. People aren't being forgiven. People aren't being delivered. Why? Because there's some hardness in a heart. I love that song and I love that description, because the surgeon, being pictured as God, every single morning, you know what he does? It's time to beat again. It's time to go out into the world. And you need to let your heart beat for me, and so that your life makes a difference. This morning, many of us, we live every day with not allowing God's beat to be in our heart. And so the way we treat people, the way we work, the way we drive, where we go, what we do, what we say, how we eat, how we talk to our servers, how we live, how we come to church. Sometimes it's still hard and it's not beating for God. Jesus goes on, 18, he says, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planted seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, the kingdom. They don't understand it, and the evil one comes and snatches it away. The seed that was planted in their hearts, the seed on the rocky soil, represents those who hear the message. Immediately they receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. And all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear, understand God's word, and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. The devil in our spiritual battle, does he want us to know that he's ripping us off? Does he want us to understand that our heart is a little bit hard, we're not fully receiving the message? Does the devil want us to know that there's still thorns in our heart and it's crowding the word of God out? Or do you think the devil wants us to think we're producing a harvest when we're really not? That's where the devil gets many people, many believers. He gets them thinking that they're producing something when they're actually not producing something. The image the devil portrays, you're doing good, you're doing fine, everything's good, everything's great. This morning we end our theme for the month, which is warfare. In 2026, there is a spiritual battle. It's raging, it's blazing, it's growing. The spiritual battle, it's intense. Because every one of us, we would love, if we had an enemy, to be able to see them, maybe keep them at a distance. But in this fight, all of our enemies, they're unseen. So the devil's throwing at us hate. He's throwing at us anger. He's throwing at us jealousy. He's throwing at us insecurity. He's throwing lies. This is who you are when you're not. The identity of many people, lost, forgotten, don't understand. There's so many lies the devil feeds people every single day. And those who aren't clothing themselves and protecting their head, putting on the belt to hold everything together, the breastplate of righteousness to guard our heart. And so we end today spiritual warfare, not being able to get through all the pieces, but knowing that our heart's probably the most important. Knowing that our heart's probably the most vital piece of this fight. And it starts, number one, by saying, recognizing, number one, am I trying to guard myself from the world? Or have I known, have I learned? Maybe I need to guard myself from within, because the devil's already planted so many things. One last story. Jesus said, kingdom of heaven's like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But at night the workers slept. His enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, and then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went out to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where'd they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds? No, he replied. You'll uproot the weed if you do. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. Jesus, describing our last text and story, he said, I planted the seeds of light into humanity. But as I did that, there was an enemy who also planted seeds of darkness in humanity. And there's some who chose the seeds of darkness, and there's some who chose the seeds of light. Just like in our heart this morning, some of us, we've allowed the truth. We've allowed certain truths. We've allowed certain verses that make us feel good. We've allowed certain words from God, but we don't want to accept all the words from God, just certain words. Because we've also let seeds of lies get in our heart. And so we ask ourselves this morning, is my heart fully beating for the Lord? Have I protected myself from myself by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, guarding myself, clothing myself within, knowing, man, I have to renew my mind every day so it's not so negative. I got to read the word of God so I fill myself with truth and protection. knowing when the enemy throws a lie at me, I know that it's a lie. The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And every single day, he's planted seeds in our heart and our mind. Doubt God. Don't trust God. Don't trust people. Don't trust anybody. You don't trust nobody. Doubt God. Doubt people. It's okay to be jealous. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be insecure. It's okay to be full of fear. It's okay to be full of lust. The devil uses people, places, and things. He uses everything he possibly can to what? To destroy our heart. Destroy every one of our hearts. And so we ask ourselves as we get ready to close this morning, is there any part of my heart that God said this morning it needs to start beating again? It's not at full strength. It's not beating at 100% full strength. There's things you have in there. There's things that you've allowed that are slowing you down. There's selfishness, which leads to sin. Hebrews 3:8, don't harden your heart as people of Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Bless us mentally and emotionally. God, our heads for some of us this morning are spinning. Our minds are going crazy, running a mile a second. God, for some of us, our hearts are, they're beating. They're just beating to the wrong drum. They're not beating to the word. They're not beating to truth. Because the devil's already trying to rip away truth from some hearts in here. The devil's already tried to make sure that heart doesn't get replaced with a full beating heart. Keep it hard. Keep it rocky. Keep it with thorns. It's okay. Chase the things of this world. Chase pleasure. Chase money. It's okay. God, and how many of us in here this morning would you say your heart needs to be replaced? Your heart needs to be dug out. And how many of us, maybe, God, you're just saying you need to start beating again to the things that matter to me. Let my heart be what you follow. God, tell our hearts to beat again this morning.